from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty.
Rooted in substance. Not flash, rooted in substance. Today, we talk with our pads.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Danny and Dusty on 1080.
You're talking about your audience, right? Every moment.
The Fan.
Normally hour number three, but hour number five on our Big Ten Media Day coverage. Woo! Last day of Big Ten Media Days. Thank you for joining us, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080inthefan, or Twitch.tv/1080amthefan. We appreciate you. We love you. Quick little hot route. Basketball coverage on The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. And the reason why we're bringing up basketball coverage right now is what has been behind the scenes for a couple of days now has now been made official. Rip City Remix coach Jim Moran, former Trailblazers assistant under Terry Stotts, is moving down to the Sacramento Kings to join Mike Brown's staff as an assistant coach.
That's a big shot for the Remix, because he's a development guy, always was under Terry Stotts, and did a great job of ushering in so many young Blazers, and did a really good job with the Remix last year, as we saw the growth of guys like Ryan Rupert. Mm-hmm. And when we saw, you know, whether everybody that was bouncing back and forth,
Mania, Chris Murray, everybody who went down there, and they got better.
Well, the next time they came up, you're like, all right, something's starting to click here. But he's down in Sacramento now. Danny will apply for the Remix job.
I'm already reached out to Danny Connors, and we'll see how that goes.
All right, let's go.
Personally, it sucks because I love Jimmy, but I wish him nothing but the best. And now the Blazers have been looking for a replacement here for the last couple of days. They've got some good options, and hopefully they find somebody even half as good as Jimmy to replace him, because it's going to be a tough situation to replace. Now, pivoting back to Big Ten Media Days, Dan Lanning took the stage in Indianapolis, and, he did Dan Lanning things.
Good morning, Dan. How's Big Ten Media Day treating you?
Man, doing great. How are you guys doing?
It's certainly great to be back here in Indianapolis. The last time I was in this stadium, I got to enjoy a national championship with some of my former players there at Georgia, and it's refreshing to be here. You know, 2.5 years from that moment, it's been so rewarding to be a part of our program at Oregon. I'm certainly excited about that. I want to start by thanking our commissioner, Tony Petitti. I've been so impressed sitting in these Big Ten meetings early as a newcomer, not only with, you know, his vision of the conference, but his ability to listen and work with our coaches, and extremely impressed with the coaches that I get to sit alongside. You know, every one of us is very competitive, but I'll say, you know, what's impressive about that room is how much these guys care about people and how much they care about the game. And their leadership is certainly shows up in this conference and something we're grateful to be a part of. I also want to take some time to thank Craig Bohl and the job that he does with AFCA advocating for our coaches. You know, he's been really instrumental in some of the legislation that's passed that's going to improve our game, and grateful we have a voice there that's listening to us and respects it. This summer has been absolutely bittersweet for me. I got to, you know, spend some great time with my family. We went back and spent some time in Missouri. Got to explore a lot of places here on the West Coast, the Pacific Northwest. And it's just absolutely beautiful country. I'm really excited for everybody in the Big Ten, the fans, to get to experience some of the beauty that exists here in Oregon. I'm certainly grateful for that time. Our three boys right now are back home doing church camp, but my kids are just at that perfect age, you know, 14, 13, 11. I wish I could freeze time. Some of you parents out there know how valuable that is, but I've got an unbelievable home. I got a head coach at home, Sophia, my wife, that's been the absolute, you know, backstop, the root for our family, and made this summer a whole lot of fun for us to spend some time together in fellowship. I think she's ready to send me back to work, so it's good that football season's here. These past 3 days, we just wrapped up a coaches retreat in Central Oregon, another beautiful area. We spent some time going over, you know, future opponents, some summer scouting, and really leaning in on one of the most important traits in our program, which is connection. Focusing in on, you know, the roots of our program, what makes us an elite coaching staff, how we can build our roster, what things are going to be in front of us in our future, and also just an opportunity to fellowship and spend time together. It's a staff that I really enjoy, you know, being a part of. We have some newcomers on our staff. I'm excited to see them grow within our program, but certainly value that time and the beauty of our state over the last few days. But also this summer we experienced, you know, great sorrow and losing a player that means so much to us. Had finished his career here at Oregon. You know, losing Kyrie in a car accident this summer was, it hurt. You know, that's one of those things you wake up as a coach and you hope to never see. And I'm feeling for him and his family. I want to give a special thank you to the Minnesota Vikings and the way that they've taken care of Kyrie and his family, and somebody that we certainly want to support. He's a guy that I always tell myself we have to be grateful for the time that we got to spend with Kyrie, because that's something that was really, really tough on our team and tough to see a guy that had such a bright future, you know, and his life being cut short. You know, this season is a very exciting one for our team. Our players have been working their tails off this summer. And entering this conference, there's some new challenges that are presented. Going through those summer scouting reports, you realize some of these teams that we're going to get to play. And it's really exciting. But I'll tell you, here at Oregon, we chase and attack those challenges. We're excited about the traditions that exist here in the Big Ten. We're excited about some of the venues that we're going to get the opportunity to play in. But we know that none of that really matters until you start with game one. This off season, we spent some time studying a couple books that hopefully will give us an edge. We studied The Art of War by Sun Tzu. We also studied the book Hidden Potential by Adam Grant. Hopefully those are some books that we can kind of lean into this season and give us an edge as we attack this future season. I'm also really proud of the growth our team has had off the field and the impact they've made on their community. You know, our guys do a lot of projects in community service, you know, working with kids sports, making 230 beds with Sleep in Heavenly Peace for kids that don't have beds, you know, traveling the world, really making an impact. I'm really proud of the community service that our guys do and how they've been able to impact our program and our community, because these guys are so much more than just football players. You know, one of the more enjoyable things for me being at Oregon is my opportunity to connect with some of the other phenomenal coaches at Oregon. You know, whether that's Dana, whether that's Casey Martin, you know, the guys that we have. And it's also been really refreshing to see some of our players get the opportunity to cross over in sports. You know, seeing Bryce Betcher get to go play for Coach Waz there, win a Golden Glove in baseball, but still be a great performer for us on the football field. Rod Pleasant run track. That's been something I really enjoy. And I think sports at Oregon are in a great place. And that's, you know, great credit to our leadership, Rob Mullins, and just the alignment from top to bottom. I'm excited this today to have three phenomenal players here that are here to represent us, and all three have worked extremely hard and are certainly deserving. They put themselves in position to be here. I'll start with Dylan Gabriel, our quarterback. He's part of a great family. You know, Garrett and Dory have done an unbelievable job raising this guy. I got the opportunity to recruit him a little bit when I was at Georgia before, and getting to reconnect with him. You know, obviously he's a legacy. His dad set a lot of records as a quarterback before, and now Dylan gets an opportunity to carry on that legacy. I know wearing the number 8 and representing the number that Marcus wore here at Oregon means a lot to him. What's maybe impressed me the most with Dylan is his ability to connect with people, not just in our program, but outside of our program, whether that's taking an offensive retreat and taking our players to different parts of Oregon to throw the ball around and fellowship, or it's, you know, having the managers over to his house to watch a fight or eat a meal. He's really done a great job of connecting quickly. I'm excited about the experience that he brings to the position, and I know that you guys will enjoy getting to visit with him today. Also excited to have one of our greats, one of our best players, Terrence Ferguson, here, tied in, a guy that, you know, certainly had a decision after the season whether he wanted to return or not or have the opportunity to go on to the NFL. I have to give a little shout out to Terrence. He just was engaged, so he is a fiance. Certainly excited for him and his future there. The job he has done this offseason, the work that he's put in, the leadership role that he provides for that tight end room, but for our offense and our team, has been amazing. Those of you that haven't got the opportunity to be around Terrence, you know, one of the things that I really love about him is when we go out the practice field and his foot steps inside that white line, he's running. He attacks every day with vigor. He's been a great teammate to our team and done a great job, plays with great passion and energy, but certainly excited about him. And his parents, Cody and Don, have done an unbelievable job and fight for every moment they can to spend around him. So great to have him here. On the defensive side of the ball, we were able to bring Jeff Bassa here, you know, one of our linebackers that's, you know, has a little bit of experience with these media days, was able to travel this last year to our media day in Las Vegas. His mom, Giselle, I know, is extremely proud of him and the job that he's done. This guy has grown and grown every single year that I've been here into this leadership role to now to the point where we have a coach on the field. If we had to have Jeff call the defense, he could tell you why. He's calling it and what he's doing. He's the kind of guy that can run the drills. If a coach isn't present, he's a true leader. He wants to attack his game. He doesn't want you to tell him all the things he's great at. He wants to be coached. And then he coaches the guys around him. He demands excellence, and I think you'll see that well represented today. You know, ultimately, what should the Big Ten know about Oregon? That we're mighty different. Mighty different in a lot of ways. You look out there in the pond, you'll see a big old duck. I'm hoping we get to travel that duck to all of our away games this year, right? We're mighty different when it comes to the jerseys you might see us wear or the facilities that we get to be in, and we're innovative. And we've always been on the cutting edge of everything we do. We're certainly positioning ourselves to be in the cutting edge, and we're grateful for the opportunity to compete in the Big Ten. Excited about this opportunity in front of us, and excited to see what this team does. It's a brand new team. It's not the same new team as last year. You know, on our team right now, there's 10 players that were on this team when I first got here, so you're talking about a new group. And these guys have completely bought in. Excited to see them perform. I know they're anxious to get on the field, but there's a lot of work between now and then before we do that. But to value your time, we'll go ahead and open it up for questions.
Thank you, Coach. We have our first row on the right here.
Hey, Coach Landing. Nick Hamilton, Nightcast Media. First of all, welcome to the Big Ten.
Thank you.
I want to ask you just about Dylan Gabriel and how you were able to build and cultivate that relationship between you two that will be able ultimately to translate on the field and accomplish the goals that you all are setting out this season.
Yeah, one of our DNA traits is connection. And, you know, before you lean on prior experience, you know, like I said, Dylan's a guy that I knew before in the recruiting process and got to watch him from a distance. You know, being from Hawaii, I think it means a lot to him to be able to represent Oregon and our strong history there in the state. You know, again, I heard his mom singing karaoke at Georgia a few years ago when we were recruiting him, and now she came out and killed it again here at Oregon. But just an unbelievable family. We're spending a lot of time with each other. We got the opportunity to go. I'm not a good golfer, but Dylan and I got to go play the other day. We saw Marcus on the golf course, and he's a good competitor. But those moments, right, those moments away from football where we get an opportunity to connect, spend some time with each other, and then seeing him carry those same moments over to our players, whether it's going out to dinner with a guy, seeing the way he operates in our locker room, really has a passion for the game and a passion to be great, and it's excited to have that on our team.
We got a question on the far right.
Dan, over here. After you left the Pac-12, where do you see the advantages of coming into the Big Ten, not only for the University of Oregon, but for your football team?
Yeah, there's several things. You know, one, just having a clear vision of our future. You know, obviously this is the premier, you know, league in college football, and getting to be a part of that, getting to be a part of some of those story traditions, play some of the teams that are in our future. I'm really excited about going to some venues that we haven't experienced. It also gives us an opportunity. We've always been a team that's recruited nationally, but it's certainly made our footprint stronger here in the Midwest, whether it's, you know, states here in this area that we haven't tapped into as much. It gives us the opportunity to recruit those states and give people an opportunity. We've always recruited, you know, East Coast to West Coast, but now having the opportunity to have some of those games played in venues that are close to the players that we're recruiting certainly helps.
Let's go here.
Hey, Coach. Will, LA Football Network. You guys had the tough challenge of replacing Kenny Dillingham last year, but it didn't look so tough with Will Stein coming in. You guys were number two in total offense last year. What makes him a shooting star within the coaching ranks, and how is he meshing with Dylan in the spring and summer portions?
Yeah, I've been so fortunate to be able to have great coaches on our staff, and Will would tell you that one of the things that makes Will so unique is his ability to work with the guys that he has in that room, and he would tell you each one of those coaches are so valuable to his success. I think he's adaptable. I think that's the most important trait in college football right now for coaches, is their ability to adapt to ever-changing rules, ever-changing schemes. I think he's hungry to learn, you know, has a passion to find information, doesn't always feel like he has all the answers, but I can tell you Will knows how to solve it. And he has a great group of coaches that he gets to work with every day. He's done a great job with our players. He connects to them. He can meet them at the surface level. As a guy that played the quarterback position, I think that's really important, how that translates to his success on the field, and really excited to see the things that he does for our program this year.
Third row on your far right.
Spencer McLaughlin, Locked On Podcast Network. Coach, you lost four defensive linemen on the interior from last year's team, including Brandon Dorlis. What do you see in that room, and how do you think that depth chart plays out as we head towards the season?
Yeah, I'm really proud of the way our personnel department and coaching staff went and attacked that. You know, we've recruited really well in that area, especially in the high school ranks, and that's where we build our team first. You know, I think we signed 25 high school players this past year, but that's a position that takes development, and you have to get them caught up quick. We're able to bring in some guys in the portal, and then grow the guys that we have on our roster there that I think will provide us a really strong two deep that can compete. You know, winning football, a lot of people have asked me, what's different about going to the Big Ten? I hear it's more physical. The reality of winning football when you're a team like Oregon in the position you want to put yourself at the end of the year, you got to win in the trenches at the end of the year, not just in the middle of the year, right? And for us to build the team that we want, we know that's really important. That's why we've attacked it so hard.
Turns out Dan Lanning's pretty good at this.
He's really good at this. Yeah. Like, we played Jed Fish earlier, nailed it. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of these coaches, they're polished. Like, that's why I think that when you saw the Deshaun Foster thing yesterday,
it was such a stark contrast.
So surprising.
Because we've hammered this point so much throughout the week. It is not just about coaching football anymore. You are a CEO. You are giving basically stockholders meetings every time you do this.
When we talk about, you know, that relating to people, like, make no mistake, like, he's talking about my kids being at church camp this week and having that time with family. Like, he's relating to the Midwest sensibilities of the Big Ten already.
Mm-hmm. He knew what he was doing.
It kind of felt like it.
Look, there's some market research done before he went up on that podium.
But it is that whole thing. And look, the Art of War, did you catch that?
Yeah, I caught
the coaching staff diving into the Art of War.
So this... Dan Lanning, the coaching staff, and me at War College both studying the same
smokes.
Thing. Good to know.
I'm wondering if that whole staff is actually turning pages, or we're more of a book on tape staff, you know?
Yeah, they have a little podcast.
Like, I don't know how. It is amazing
Sun
to
Tzu,
me.
Not an easy read.
When you think of how often they are on the recruiting trail, when they are going to, you know, showcase events and camps and stuff like that, when they're having their own camps, hell, they will turn around, they come back from Big Ten Media Day today, then they have tomorrow where it's kind of gearing up for Saturday Night Live, which is a big recruiting event that they have mm-hmm. in the stadium on Saturday, right?
And then what's on Monday?
And then Media Day is on Monday. Mm-hmm. Like, everything is just so schedule-oriented. But I think one thing that he said there that kind of sticks out to everybody is the move to the Big Ten is being made of physicality and brand of football, mm-hmm. right? The good programs and the elite programs, they play a style that translates no matter where they are anymore. Like Oregon under Chip Kelly in 2010, it was not built to play a style of football. It was to catch teams off guard, mm-hmm. right? And they were really damn good at it. But what Mario Cristobal started and Dan Lanning has kind of built up to is building a team that is built in the trenches, and they have depth on both sides of the football. And that's going to be the most important thing when you look. I don't know if anybody's been watching on the Big Ten Network the sheer size of the human beings that are playing running back in the Big Ten. They are enormous. And that was a big reason why Jed Fish goes and he brings Jonah Coleman with him from UW up to Seattle. Dude is a unit. An absolute unit. Yeah. Kyle Monongai from Rutgers.
Even though he's tiny, he's still huge.
Humongous human being.
5'8", but he's like 220 pounds.
You've got to be able to throw a bunch of bodies, whether it's at linebacker, running back, or on offensive and defensive line. You have to be able to ready play the mass on the line needs of scrimmage. To be there. Yeah. And they're built that way.
Coming up next, Dan Lanning wasn't done talking as he hopped on with Pat McAfee and a little pew-pew-pew-pew-pew back at his former mentor. We'll get to that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dan Lanning wasn't done with his media appearances, whether it was with us here on Teddy the Fan with Terry Sprague and Ortner this morning, or at Big Ten Media Days. He also hopped on with Pat McAfee. And
he's based out of Indy. He's right down the street, literally right down the street from Lucas Oil.
He's got his own stadium.
Yeah, he does.
Thunderdome. Lanning hopped on with McAfee, and he didn't load the blanks in the guns.
We don't have that yet. I think it's impressive that, you know, guys like Kirby have been signing the number one class in the nation without, you know, any NIL money this entire time.
Fox has a question.
So impressive. No. Hey, obviously, you know, Coach Smart took a little shot at us. I don't think it's a secret. If you want to be a top 10 team in college football, you better have great support. We have that, you know, but it's not, it's one plus one plus one, right? It's also the 300 teams that we went to this spring to visit. It's the 23 satellite camps. It's when they come to your campus. It's our staff. It's our alignment with our entire university that makes, you know, recruiting work.
Pew, 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 pew.
We just played his audio of 13 and a half minutes of him being polished up there, saying all the right things. This is what Lanning does, though. Lanning can sit down with you and he can mix it up. Mm-hmm. And I hope that people understand, like, you can get the polished guy. And unlike, you know, Nick Saban, who he coached under, who refused for so long to let his personality show, even though we knew, because former players would be like, dude, Saban's got a good personality. He loves the D's nuts jokes. He loves to mix it up out there with his players, with his staff, with families during recruiting visits and stuff. You have to be able to ebb and flow. And you heard it right there, right? Like, he is going to mix it up. And he knows that he can he can take a jab at Kirby Smart just like Kirby took one back at him because of their relationship together, right? Yeah. And nothing is going to be taken personally about it. But it is really funny to me that, like, Kirby Smart, I wish we had an unlimited NIL like Dan Lanning does. Okay, they're Georgia, number one recruiting class in the country. And, oh, by the way, people very familiar with how Georgia operates and recruits because Lanning was on staff. Marshall Malkow, who is the general manager of the Oregon program, worked at Georgia, then went to Texas A&M, and now is at Oregon, and has intimate knowledge of how they operate financially from a program standpoint.
They've seen the books.
Yeah. It's like you sit there and you go, that is what you want from your head coach, is a guy who's willing to stand up for his program too and just be like, you know, like you told Tyson Alger, you know, people who seem to be upset that the rabbit has the gun now, you know, and it's different because they're new.
Well, it's not just that. It's also this is counter recruiting.
Yeah.
This is the counter recruiting in the open. And this is when you're not recruiting for yourself, you're recruiting against somebody else. And this is the same things you do in business.
But
he's,
yeah,
it's
100%.
It's the same thing you see across the business spectrum. It's saying it without saying it more often than not. But in this case, it's saying your competitor's name.
Well, and he said that, you know, going to 23 satellite camps, mm-hmm. being in
300 different schools,
going to 300 different schools and making sure that you are seen and your faces are out there. And that's what I was talking about with, I don't know how they find the hours in the day to read Art of War and have discussions about it, because my God, they are spread all across the country recruiting 24 hours a day. It's crazy to me, the lives that they live and how they find the hours in the day. And like every single minute of their day is planned out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is to a T, I gotta go here, here,
it's
here,
the Rob
here.
Dyrdek model.
Yeah. Mark Wahlberg with his, you know, wake up at 5 a.m. and play the speed golf, all that stuff. Like, you have got to be, you're beholden to your calendar and you're scheduling every single aspect of your life, because if you don't, things start to slip through the cracks. And work-life balance, I don't know how they do it. I don't think they have it.
No.
Most coaches don't. So. And it's pretty incredible, though, to hear the head coach at Oregon first have the Kirby Smart, I wish Georgia had something that Oregon had, and then Oregon's coach to come back over the top rope on McAfee and say, it's kind of crazy.
It's wild.
No
happens.
NIL, yeah. Number one recruiting class in the country, still has a better recruiting class than Oregon this year in the recruiting rankings. Yet no NIL, huh? Weird.
Wild. All right, coming up next, we'll put a little bow on the Big Ten Media Day bonanza?
Bonanzas. Yeah.
Multiple days. Winners, losers, everything else in between. But first, here's the Big Kahuna, the Sports Center update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
That's all, folks. Big Ten Media Day is done and wrapped up.
Yeah.
Three days of extensive, in-depth fire hose inserted, blowing and going Big Ten Media Day coverage.
They've packed up camp in Indianapolis, and they are all
swag party on a plane home.
The fire hose is fully inserted in my mouth here. We've been blowing and going
the whole time. It was a busy week. My goodness. Like you think about the 3 days, it started with Ohio State. They kind of eased their way into it. But boy, we were talking after day one that, hey, days two and three, this is where things are really going to start ramping up, because you get the Penn State, USC, Iowa, Michigan State with Jonathan Smith, people that we wanted to hear about on day two. Today was Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, Washington. And it got more exciting. Yesterday, obviously, Deshaun Foster stealing the show with what he didn't say.
Right.
And then you had Lincoln Riley firing up his own fan base with the maybe we don't play Notre Dame moving forward. We got to look at the schedule. And then today you have Kirk Cignetti, who is just a quote machine.
Telling everyone, going full DX, just saying, suck it to everyone.
Yeah, he's just entering the Big Ten with two middle fingers up in the air.
Just NWOing it up.
And
it
is such a wild thing for
a little heel turn.
An Indiana program that, my goodness, when's the last time Indiana was relevant?
I mean, if you're not going to be relevant, make some noise.
They went 1-8 in conference play, 3-9 last year. The year before that, they went a respectable 4-8 if you're Colorado.
But I mean, you have to don't you kind of have to go out and kind of make your own news, make a little bit of controversy to get a little bit of attention?
People are caring about Indiana football right? now. Like, because if you missed it, Kirk Cignetti, he said at Big Ten Media Days today about being excited to play in the Rose Bowl against UCLA, their first Big Ten game of the year, week three. And he said, we're just going to an old stadium to kick someone's ass.
For all of the wrong reasons. That's what he said. He opened it. For all of the wrong reasons, sure. But yeah, why we're just going down there to beat a kick with another team's ass. Like, it's just like, oh, okay.
All right. Well, we'll see if that happens, first of all.
And this is, again, the guy who, when he was presented at Assembly Hall, when he was hired in Indiana, said that Ohio State and Michigan, they both suck.
And Purdue. Yeah. Just said, no, we hate them all. We're just going to hate them all.
I like this. He's getting out in front of it. Have some fun.
We'll see. Let's see. Where is Indiana at in the football recruiting rankings here?
Before you look,
yeah,
are they top 75?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They for the class of 2025, they are 43rd.
That's actually respectable.
46th in 2024.
Okay.
Yeah. 2023, let's see, that's not his class in 2023. Yeah. They were 42nd. So,
and they just hired him. So let's see what he does with his class.
Yeah. And then they were 30th in 2022, which I wonder how many of those guys COVID. Are even on the roster still.
Yeah. Well, the COVID classes are always a little weird.
Yeah.
But that's actually more respectable than I thought.
Well, no, it's because you're playing in the Big Ten. And they do have money at Indiana.
Yes, they do. It just all Mark goes Cuban. To basketball.
Yeah, Mark Cuban, Indiana guy.
What's the highlight of Big Ten Media Day?
It's a low light, and it's Deshaun Foster, it, right? Unfortunately.
It is, yeah. Huh? Like, yeah. We thought maybe it would kind of fall to the wayside. Mm-mm. Because maybe he would go on another interview and there would be an explanation that made sense. But his explanation for it being he was just going to take questions, I don't know. Maybe just get up there and say, hey, I don't have something here that's going to be long and drawn out. I'm actually more here to take questions from you. So if you just want to get questions on
it. Kind of feels like the Big Ten gave all of the new coaches, like the new programs, all four of them that are coming from the Pac-12. Because Lanning even said it. Like, he even said, you know, for those of you that don't know anything about the University of Oregon, Jed Fish kind of started it with, we don't know much about Washington. We beat Oregon 3 times, right? Mm-hmm. Lincoln Riley gave like a brief overview of what USC was. It seems like maybe when they got there, they were like, hey, yeah, say something, you know, about what your program is and what people may not know about it. Mm-hmm. And Deshaun Foster came up with, we're from LA. And like USC is also from LA.
It's like when you get to a new high school and you're forced to introduce yourself in front of the class.
Yeah.
I'm from LA and, that's in Los Angeles, which is in California, which is a state in the United States.
Yeah.
That's the vibe it got.
I think the highlights though, from our media day experiences though, were Nate Carter blew me away. The Michigan Absolutely. State running back, Jeff Bossa and Dylan Gabriel were both fantastic. And Pat Chun and all three of those four interviews came today. And Rust has been doing a great job of getting them up at 1080thefan.com and
they are all there.
In the Odyssey app. So I'd highly recommend if you're a UW fan, Pat Chun was great. He was fantastic about his path to UW and kind of the direction of college sports and athletics moving forward. Bossa and Gabriel were very well spoken. And yeah, they were. And Gabriel's doing unreal, which that's the first time I've asked somebody, how you doing?
Unreal.
I'm unreal today. Hell yeah. Let's go.
And he's wearing a bamboo colored suit.
Yeah. Which it fit, man.
It did. Cause we remember said it wasn't white. It was like, no. It was a cream. But bamboo off. Is a very perfect color.
He's not going to wear yellow. He's not wearing a yellow suit today.
I mean, the last person to wear a yellow suit off the top of my head and pull it off was Jim Carrey in The Mask.
I was going to go with Big Bird.
Did he wear a suit? Or is it just a yellow
What about
feathered suit?
Dick Tracy?
Ooh.
Well, see,
it was like a trench coat.
The Mask came out afterwards, so it was more recent.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And also, wasn't Dick Tracy, wasn't it a yellow with black pinstripes?
I don't know. I don't remember Dick Tracy that much.
Go look at the cast.
Because that movie was terrible.
Yeah.
Go look at the cast, though. The cast of that movie is insane. Yeah.
It was. It was Warren Beatty, Al Pacino, Madonna, Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, I don't see any pinstripes, but he is wearing a black vest.
Kathy Bates, Dick Van Dyke. God.
Dude, it's insane.
Yeah. And all that for that movie.
That movie. Oof. That's they came out. Didn't that come out like the month after Batman?
1990. And then, yeah, I think Batman was. It was 89 or 90.
I think Batman came out a month before, and this was like the Hollywood's first foray into movie, into comic book movies in that style. And they thought after Batman did so well that Dick Tracy would do well too. And boy, was it not good.
Warren Beatty, still alive, huh?
That's an upset because he was old in that movie.
He's 87 years old.
What?
I could have sworn he died a long time ago.
Number one, older and definitely deader.
Yeah. Wow. That blew my mind.
All right.
Hey, congrats, Warren Beatty.
Not dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, our man, Dick Van Dyke, he's 98 years old right now.
I say he's still gone.
Still kicking. Still kicking.
And it looks like just about almost exactly a year between the release of the original Batman and Dick Tracy.
Tracy was afterwards, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That was June of 90, and Batman was June of 89.
All right.
God, was it really?
Yeah.
A year later. All right. Ugh. Well, look at that. Learn something new every day. I don't know how. Yellow Suits.
Yeah, Yellow Suits.
Dylan Gabriel. Look good, feel good, play good. Interview good.
So how do we like Big Ten Media Days?
Pac-12 did a better job. Yep. They throw a better party. Not a better conference.
I think we probably like it better than Swag.
Yeah. Shout out to Swag for putting up with it.
Swag did a great job.
He did do a great job.
And look.
Worked his arse off.
The interviews that we got were all quality, though, and it was awesome that we were there.
Yeah, we didn't get fed any of the, you could say the one nice thing about this was that we didn't have to deal with the run-of-the-mill guys that had the Minnesota offensive linemen.
Carl Durrell coming and sitting down, looking like he was about to get fired at the end of every sentence that he was speaking. Yeah.
Or getting Herm.
Herm Edwards
almost bit my head off.
He wanted nothing to do with your shenanigans.
He looked like he was tired and clearly not having fun. So I tried to have a little bit of fun with him, and he damn near killed me.
No, he didn't want to do that.
No,
I remember listening to on the way back from the Fan Golf Classic, listening to the primetime best of, and their sit down with Herm Edwards, and how awkward that was.
Yeah,
it was bad.
It was really bad.
And they even ran the follow up segment too, where they did basically the post game of the bad interview.
Yes.
Yeah.
Herm had a shelf life of interview time.
Yeah.
And it expired rather quickly.
And he was long expired before he got to us.
Special thanks to Mods PDX and Legends Casino for presenting Big Ten Media Day for us. It was a good event, but it was Pac-12. They throw a good party.
Yeah, they do.
They threw a good party.
So we'll make the adjustments and be ready and anticipatory of next year's proceedings.
All right, let's go. Let's do it.
All right, when we get back, put a nice little bow on today's show. And you know what we do need to do? We need to make the return of the single D, double D, triple D rating.
Oh, movie time.
It's movie time.
Let's go.
Heading to the movies after the show today.
Oh, I love it.
And I will come in tomorrow morning with a fresh one. We'll get that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Shout out to everybody for hanging out with us for the Pac-12, Big Ten media days. My brain's going to take a little while getting used to that. It's fun. We appreciate you hanging out. Us doing the 5-hour shows, so there's a little bit more stuff to go into.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go turn my brain off now, though.
Okay. Are you a Twisters? Are you going Twisters or are you going Deadpool Wolverine?
Deadpool Wolverine tonight.
That's what you're doing
tonight.
That's
what we're doing tonight. And
there's Return of the Big Cinema.
Movies are back, y'all.
Yeah.
I went through three different theaters before I found the time that I'm going to where I could get seats that weren't either in like the front two rows or in the very edge of the theater.
Okay. So I saw something on social media and I'd never seen this before. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we have one around here. 4DX theaters that have like wind vibrating seats. And apparently like,
I haven't seen
some theaters have like a water feature where like people are watching Twister and it's like a whole immersive experience.
That's pretty killer.
I've heard of the butt kicker seats, that's what Regal calls them. Yeah, I don't even know if it's like a real thing, but it's like I saw it in 4DX and it had like the picture of like it looks like a ride at like when you go on was it Soarin', California, where they have like the wind features and the misters and all that stuff. I was like, that would be probably pretty gross in a movie theater, but it'd be something I'd be interested yeah, like, in for a movie like Twister.
The what you're being hit with, the liquid, I'm not. Mm. I have lots of questions about what that may or may not be.
Yeah,
that's a different theater experience.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh God.
What? I just laughed at Jeff's joke.
Oh God.
But we will have a movie rating tomorrow. Remember, we have our rating system. D, double D, pretty good. Triple D's? Yeah, right. Good movie.
I don't know. In my experience, double D's are great, but
I've never said no to them.
God, you guys.
I'm not the one that named this rating system. I'm just, you know.
It's because Danny and Dusty, we were on a D scale here. All right? Come on. Let's go, guys. I'm interested in this because I've heard that Deadpool Wolverine is supposed to be like movie of the summer.
So all of the stuff that I've read, and it is supposed to be basically 2.5 to 3 hours of fan service, which, yes, sign me up for it.
Fan service.
Yes. Huh? Like all of the, because part of the big deal originally when Deadpool was coming out was Wolverine being in the yellow bleeping costume for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Outside of the comic books. It was
sweet.
Like, and I know of a, I'm not going to put any spoilers out because the movie comes out tonight. Unfortunately, I had two spoilers already come across the timeline. I know some of the characters that they're going to put in this.
Who
and I'm already.
That?
I know, right?
LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy. What movie did
what
he spoil?
What movie did that? God. Before, like the day it came out.
The day it came out,
it was,
just ruined
it was
the whole
it
movie.
Was Avengers. It was Tony Stark dying.
Yeah.
I remember on my way out of one of the new Star Wars movies, though, the one where Han Solo died, like right as we walked out the door, and I was talking to my brother, and I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe they killed Han Solo, and this guy walking in his pajama pants was like, great, thanks a lot.
That was
you, heard me.
Jerk.
Yeah.
That was you crop dusting the couple at that old Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Russ strikes
Can
again.
Can you believe they killed Han Solo in the lobby as everybody's getting ready to come in?
I was
What?
To be fair, I was outside the
outside the theater?
I was outside the building.
Okay, that's what I mean. Because I'm like, if you're in the building still.
No, I had exited the building.
See, I think you're in the clear there. That guy, you need to put blinders on.
La 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 la.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I am genuinely excited. And my wife is not a big Marvel movie person, but she's loved the Deadpool movies, and so she was like, "Yeah, let's go." I couldn't talk her into the late night show because she wants to be in bed by 10.
Okay.
But yeah, no, we're gonna go see that, and I'm gonna go pick her up right after the show and head straight down there.
Perfect. Let's go.
I'm excited.
I can't wait to hear about this.
It's been a while since I've been this excited about a movie. Like, I'm genuinely like, no, I want to see this. Not like, I'll go see it. Yeah. This is summer blockbuster time.
It's good to have those back.
Right.
Because everybody after COVID is like, your movie theater's going to even survive. Yeah, they will. We just need good content.
You need Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah. Did Top Gun Maverick save the movie industry?
People are saying.
No. I don't know.
Tom Cruise did it again.
Tom Cruise.
Hilariously, somebody put up like Ryan Reynolds' IMDb, and they're like, is this the worst IMDb in the history of humankind? Because it had just a list of horrendous.
He is movies. A very wealthy man that he's had some clunkers.
Oh, God. There. Yeah. I mean, Green Lantern is one of the biggest steaming piles of crap in existence.
But he's got Van Wilder.
But
he's
it's where he met his wife.
He's got the Deadpool movies.
Which, great.
What is the one where.
Waiting.
Waiting.
The Waiting. Batwing.
He's got
the goat.
What's the Sandra Bullock movie?
Where the proposal.
The proposal where he marries the boss.
Very funny movie.
Yeah, that is good. Betty White.
He's always good in everything. Like, you know that he's going to be entertaining.
But the movies may just junk.
Which might speak to how great he can be, is that you can still find joy in the fact that he's good, even though the movie is a horrible, just complete pile of crap.
What do we think of Free Guy?
It was fine.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right. I just don't know. Yeah, he does have some bad ones.
Oh, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we just watched If with the kids.
Which I've heard
the imaginary friend
the kids love.
Written and directed by John Krasinski.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he is in that. Wow, he's got some really...
It's terrible. I wasn't kidding. It's terrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he's got Welcome to Wrexham.
There you go.
That's a good
hell
show
of a docuseries.
Which I hear you're gonna have to have a lookout for Rob McElhenney, because he said on Wrexham he cut Rob out of the movie.
Perfect.
All right. Coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Soup. Thanks again to Jason Swigart in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Days. We'll see you Friday from noon to three right here on The Fan.
Bye. We both have huge D's.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's all, folks. Big Ten Media Day is done and wrapped up.
Yeah.
Three days of extensive, in-depth, fire hose inserted, blowing and going, Big Ten Media Day coverage.
They've packed up camp in Indianapolis, and they are all...
Swag party are on a plane. Home.
The fire hose is fully inserted in my mouth here. We've been blowing and going.
The whole time.
Mm.
It was a busy week. My goodness. Like, you think about the 3 days, it started with Ohio State. They kind of eased their way into it. But boy, we were talking after day one that, hey, days two and three, this is where things are really going to start ramping up, because you get the Penn State, USC, Iowa, Michigan State with Jonathan Smith, people that we wanted to hear about on day two. Today was Indiana, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Oregon, Washington. And it got more exciting. Yesterday, obviously, Deshaun Foster stealing the show with what he didn't say.
Right.
And then you had Lincoln Riley firing up his own fan base with the maybe we don't play Notre Dame moving forward. We got to look at the schedule. And then today you have Kirk Cignetti, who is just a quote machine.
Telling everyone, going full DX, just saying, suck it to everyone.
Yeah, he's just entering the Big Ten with two middle fingers up in the air.
Just NWOing it up.
And
it is
such a wild thing for
a little heel turn.
An Indiana program that, my goodness, when's the last time Indiana was relevant?
I mean, if you're not going to be relevant, make some noise.
They went 1-8 in conference play, 3-9 last year. The year before that, they went a respectable 4-8 if you're Colorado.
But I mean, don't you kind of have to go out and kind of make your own news, make a little bit of controversy to get a little bit of attention?
People are caring about Indiana football right now. Because if you missed it, Kirk Cignetti, he said at Big Ten Media Days today about being excited to play in the Rose Bowl against UCLA, their first Big Ten game of the year, week three. And he said, we're just going to an old stadium to kick someone's ass.
For all of the wrong reasons. That's what he said. He opened it. For all of the wrong reasons, sure. But yeah, why? We're just going down there to beat a kick with another team's ass. Like, it's just like, oh, Oh, okay.
All right. Well, we'll see if that happens, first of all.
And this is, again, the guy who, when he was presented at Assembly Hall, when he was hired in Indiana, said that Ohio State and Michigan, they both suck.
And Purdue. And Purdue. Yeah. Just said, no, we hate them all. We're just going to hate them all.
I like this. He's getting out in front of it.
Well, we'll see. Let's see. Where is Indiana at in the football recruiting rankings here?
Before you look.
Yeah.
Are they top 75?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. They for the class of 2025, they are 43rd.
That's actually respectable.
46th in 2024.
Okay.
Yeah. 2023, let's see. That's not his class in 2023. Yeah. They were 42nd. So,
and they just hired him, so let's see what he does with his class.
Yeah, and then they were 30th in 2022, which I wonder how many of those guys COVID. Are even on the roster still.
Yeah, well, the COVID classes are always a little weird.
Yeah.
But that's actually more respectable than I thought.
Well, no, it's because you're playing in the Big Ten, and they do have money at Indiana.
Yes, they do. It just all Mark goes Cuban. To basketball.
Yeah, Mark Cuban, Indiana guy.
What's the highlight of Big Ten Media Day?
It's a low light, and it's Deshaun Foster, right? Unfortunately.
It is, yeah. Huh? We thought maybe it would kind of fall to the wayside. Mm-mm. Because maybe he would go on another interview and there would be an explanation that made sense. But his explanation for it being he was just going to take questions, I don't know. Maybe just get up there and say, hey, I don't have something here that's going to be long and drawn out. I'm actually more here to take questions from you. So if you just want to get questions on
it. Kind of feels like the Big Ten gave all of the new coaches, like the new programs, all four of them that are coming from the Pac-12, because Lanning even said it. Like he even said, you know, for those of you that don't know anything about the University of Oregon, Jed Fish kind of started it with, we don't know much about Washington. We beat Oregon 3 times, right? Mm-hmm. Lincoln Riley gave like a brief overview of what USC was. It seems like maybe when they got there, they were like, hey, yeah, say something, you know, about what your program is and what people may not know about it. Mm-hmm. And Deshaun Foster came up with, we're from LA. And like USC is also from LA.
It's like when you get in, it's like when you get again to a new high school and you're forced to introduce yourself in front of the class.
Yeah.
I'm from LA and, that's in Los Angeles, which is in California, which is a state in the United States.
Yeah.
That's the vibe it got.
I think the highlights though, from our media day experiences though, were Nate Carter blew me away. The Michigan Absolutely. State running back, Jeff Bossa and Dylan Gabriel were both fantastic. And Pat Chun and all three of those four interviews came today. And Rust has been doing a great job of getting them up at 1080thefan.com and
they are all there.
In the Odyssey app. So I'd highly recommend if you're a UW fan, Pat Chun was great. He was fantastic about his path to UW and kind of the direction of college sports and athletics moving forward. Bossa and Gabriel were very well spoken. And Gabriel's doing unreal, which that's the first time I've asked somebody, how you doing? I'm unreal today. Hell yeah, let's go.
And he's wearing a bamboo colored suit.
Yeah, which it fit, man.
It did, because we remember I said it wasn't white. It was like, no. It was a cream. But bamboo off. Is a very perfect color.
He's not going to wear yellow. He's not wearing a yellow suit today.
I mean, the last person to wear a yellow suit off the top of my head and pull it off was Jim Carrey in The Mask.
I was going to go with Big Bird.
Did he wear a suit? Or is it easier to see a yellow
feathered
suit?
What about Dick Tracy?
Ooh.
Well, see,
it was like a trench coat.
The Mask came out afterwards, so it was more recent.
Yeah, okay, okay.
And also, wasn't Dick Tracy, wasn't it a yellow with black pinstripes?
I don't know. I don't remember Dick Tracy that much.
Go look at the cast.
Because that movie was terrible.
Yeah.
Go look at the cast, though. The cast of that movie is insane. Yeah.
It was. It was Warren Beatty, Al Pacino, Madonna, Dustin Hoffman.
I don't see any pinstripes, but he's wearing a black vest.
Kathy Bates, Dick Van Dyke. God.
Dude, it's insane.
Yeah. And all that for that movie.
That movie. Oof. They came out, didn't that come out like the month after Batman?
1990. And then, I think Batman was 89 or 90.
I think Batman came out a month before, and this was like the Hollywood's first foray into movie, into comic book movies in that style. And they thought after Batman did so well that Dick Tracy would do well too, and that, boy, was it not good.
Warren Beatty, still alive, huh?
That's an upset, because he was old in that movie.
He's 87 years old?
What?
I could have sworn he died a long time ago. I would have
said number one, older and definitely deader.
Yeah. Wow. That blew my mind.
All right.
Hey, congrats, Warren Beatty.
Not dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, our man Dick Van Dyke, 98 years old right now.
I say he's still gone.
Still kicking. Still kicking.
And it looks like just about almost exactly a year between the release of the original Batman and Dick Tracy.
Tracy was afterwards, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That was June of 90, and Batman was June of 89.
All right.
God, was it really?
Yeah.
A year later. All right. Well, look at that. Learn something new every day. I don't know how. Yellow Suits.
Yeah, Yellow Suits.
Dylan Gabriel. Look good, feel good, play good. Interview good.
So how do we like Big Ten Media Days?
Pac-12 did a better job. Yep. They throw a better party. Not a better conference. They throw a better party.
I think we probably like it better than Swag.
Yeah. Shout out to Swag for putting up with it.
Swag did a great job.
He did do a great job.
And look,
worked his arse off.
The interviews that we got were all quality, though, and it was awesome that we were there.
Yeah, we didn't get fed any of the, I guess you could say the one nice thing about this was that we didn't have to deal with the run-of-the-mill guys that had the Minnesota offensive linemen.
Carl Durrell coming and sitting down, looking like he was about to get fired at the end of every sentence that he was speaking. Yeah.
Or getting Herm.
Herm Edwards
almost bit my head off.
He wanted nothing to do with your shenanigans.
He looked like he was tired and clearly not having fun, so I tried to have a little bit of fun with him, and he damn near killed me.
No, he didn't want to do that.
No.
I remember listening to, on the way back from the Fan Golf Classic, listening to the Primetime Best Of and their sit down with Herm Edwards, and how awkward that was.
It was bad. It was really bad.
And they even ran the follow-up segment, too, where they did basically the post-game of the bad interview.
Yes.
Yeah.
Herm had a shelf life of interview time.
Yeah.
And it expired rather quickly.
And he was long expired before he got to us.
Special thanks to Mods PDX and Legends Casino for presenting Big Ten Media Day for us. It was a good event, but it was Pac-12. They throw a good party.
Yeah, they do.
They threw a good party.
So we'll make the adjustments and be ready and anticipatory of next year's proceedings.
All right, let's go. Let's do it.
All right, when we get back, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show. And you know what we do need to do? We need to make the return of the single D, double D, triple D rating.
Oh, movie time.
It's movie time.
Let's go.
Head to the movies after the show today.
Oh, I love it.
And I will come in tomorrow morning with a fresh one. We'll get that and more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Shout out to everybody for hanging out with us for the Pac-12, Big Ten media days. My brain's going to take a little while getting used to that. It's fun. We appreciate you hanging out. Us doing the 5-hour shows, so there's a little bit more stuff to go into.
Absolutely.
I'm going to go turn my brain off now, though.
Okay. Are you a Twisters? Are you going Twisters or are you going Deadpool Wolverine?
Deadpool Wolverine tonight.
That's what you're doing
tonight. That's what we're doing tonight. And
there's Return of the Big Cinema.
Movies are back, y'all.
Yeah.
I went through three different theaters before I found the time that I'm going to where I could get seats that weren't either in like the front two rows or in the very edge of the theater.
Okay. So I saw something on social media and I'd never seen this before. I don't know if we have one around here. 4DX theaters that have like wind vibrating seats. And apparently
I haven't seen the
some theaters have like a water feature where like people are watching Twister and it's like a whole immersive experience.
That's pretty killer.
I've heard
of the butt kicker seats. That's what Regal calls them.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's like a real thing, but it's like I saw it in 4DX and it had like the picture of like it looks like a ride at like when you go on was it Soarin', California, where they have like the wind features and the misters and all that stuff. I was like, that would be probably pretty gross in a movie theater, but it'd be something I'd be interested in for a movie like Twister.
What you're being hit with, the liquid, I'm not. I have lots of questions about what that may or may not be.
Yeah,
that's a different theater experience.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh God.
What? I just laughed at Jeff's joke.
Oh God.
But we will have a movie rating tomorrow. Remember, we have our rating system. D, Double D, pretty good. Triple D's? Yeah, right.
I mean, I don't know. In my experience, double D's are great, but
I've never said no to them.
God, you guys.
I'm not the one that named this rating system. I'm just, you know.
It's because Danny and Dusty, we were on a D scale here. All right? Come on. Let's go, guys. I'm interested in this because I've heard that Deadpool Wolverine is supposed to be like movie of the summer.
So all of the stuff that I've read, and it is supposed to be basically 2.5 to 3 hours of fan service, which, yes, sign me up for it.
Fan service.
Yes,
huh?
Like all of the, because part of the big deal originally when Deadpool was coming out was Wolverine being in the yellow bleeping costume for the first time ever.
Yeah,
outside of the comic books, it was
sweet.
And I know of a, I'm not gonna put any spoilers out because the movie comes out tonight. Unfortunately, I had two spoilers already come across the timeline. I know some of the characters that they're going to put in this,
who
and I'm already
does that?
I know, right?
LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy. What movie did
spoil? What movie did that? God. Before, like, The day it came out,
it was, just ruined
it was,
the whole
it
movie.
Was Avengers. It was Tony Stark dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember on my way out of one of the new Star Wars movies, though, the one where Han Solo died, like, right as we walked out the door, and I was talking to my brother, and I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe they killed Han Solo, and this guy walking in his pajama pants was like, great, thanks a lot.
That was you, jerk.
Yeah.
That was you crop dusting the couple at that old Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Russ strikes
again. Can you believe they killed Han Solo in the lobby as everybody's getting ready to come in?
I was.
What?
To be fair, I was outside.
Outside the theater?
I was outside the building.
Okay, that's what I mean. Because if you're in the building still.
No, I had exited the building.
See, I think you're in the clear there. That guy, you need to put blinders on.
La 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 la. Right,
exactly.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I am genuinely excited. And my wife is not a big Marvel movie person, but she's loved the Deadpool movies, and so she was like, "Yeah, let's go." I couldn't talk her into the late night show because she wants to be in bed by 10.
Okay.
But yeah, no, we're gonna go see that, and I'm gonna go pick her up right after the show and head straight down there.
Perfect. Let's go.
I'm excited.
I can't wait to hear about this.
It's been a while since I've been this excited about a movie. Like, I'm genuinely like, no, I want to see this. Not like, I'll go see it. Yeah. This is summer blockbuster time.
It's good to have those back.
Right?
Because everybody after COVID is like, your movie theater's going to even survive. Yeah, they will. We just need good content.
Yeah, you need Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah. Did Top Gun Maverick save the movie industry?
People are saying.
No. I don't know.
Tom Cruise did it again.
Tom Cruise.
Hilariously, somebody put up like Ryan Reynolds' IMDb, and they're like, is this the worst IMDb in the history of humankind? Because it had just a list of horrendous.
He is a very wealthy man that he's had some clunkers.
Oh, God. Yeah. I mean, Green Lantern is one of the biggest steaming piles of crap in existence.
But he's got Van Wilder.
But it's where he met his wife.
He's got the Deadpool movies.
Which, great.
What is the one where...
Waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting.
The Batwing.
He's got...
The Goat.
What's the Sandra Bullock movie?
Proposal.
The Proposal, where he marries the boss.
Very funny movie.
Yeah, that is good. Betty White.
He's always good in everything. Like, you know that he's going to be entertaining.
But the movies may just junk.
Which might speak to how great he can be, is that you can still find joy in the fact that he's good, even though the movie is a horrible, just complete pile of crap.
What do we think of Free Guy?
It was fine.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right. I just don't know. Yeah, he does have some bad ones.
Oh, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we just watched If with the kids.
Which I've heard
the imaginary friend
the kids love.
Written and directed by John Krasinski.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he is in that. Wow, he's got some really...
It's terrible. I wasn't kidding. It's terrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he's got Welcome to Wrexham.
There you go.
That's a good
show,
too.
Hell of a doc series.
Which I hear you're going to have a lookout for Rob McElhenney, because he said on Wrexham he cut Rob out of the movie.
Perfect.
All right. Coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Soup. Thanks again to Jason Swigart in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Days. We'll see you Friday from noon to 3 right here on The Fan.
Bye. We both have huge D's. Shout out to everybody for hanging out with us for the Pac-12, Big Ten Media Days. My brain's going to take a little while getting used to that. It's fun. We appreciate you hanging out. Us doing the 5 hour shows, so there's a little bit more stuff to go into.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna go turn my brain off now, though.
Okay. Twisters? Are you going Twisters? Or are you going Deadpool Wolverine?
Deadpool Wolverine tonight.
That's what you're doing.
That's
tonight.
That's what we're doing tonight. And
there's Return of the Big Cinema.
Movies are back, y'all.
Yeah.
I went through three different theaters before I found the time that I'm going to where I could get seats that weren't either in like the front two rows or in the very edge of the theater.
Okay. So I saw something on social media and I'd never seen this before. Mm. I don't know if we have one around here. 4DX theaters that have like wind vibrating seats, and apparently like
I haven't seen the
some
wind
theaters
ones,
have like a water feature where like people are watching Twister and it's like a whole immersive experience.
That's pretty killer.
I've heard of the butt kicker seats, that's what Regal calls them. Yeah, I don't even know if it's like a real thing, but it's like I saw it in 4DX and it had like the picture of like it looks like a ride at like when you go on, was it Soarin', California, where they have like the wind features and the misters and all that stuff. I was like, that would be probably pretty gross in a movie theater, but it'd be something I'd be interested in for a movie like Twister.
What you're being hit with, the liquid, I'm not, I have lots of questions about what that may or may not be.
Yeah.
That's a different theater experience.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, God.
What? I just laughed at Jeff's joke.
Oh, God.
But we will have a movie rating tomorrow. Remember, we have our rating system. D, double D, pretty good. Triple D's? Yeah, right. Good movie.
I don't know. In my experience, double D's are great, but
I've never said no to them.
God, you guys.
I'm not the one that named this rating system. I'm just, you know.
It's because Danny and Dusty, we were on a D scale here. All right? Come on. Let's go, guys. I'm interested in this because I've heard that Deadpool Wolverine is supposed to be like movie of the summer.
So all of the stuff that I've read, and it is supposed to be basically 2.5 to 3 hours of fan service, which, yes, sign me up for it.
Fan service.
Yes. Huh? Like all of the, because part of the big deal originally when Deadpool was coming out was Wolverine being in the yellow bleeping costume for the first time ever.
Yeah.
Outside of the comic books. It was
sweet.
Like, and I know of a, I'm not going to put any spoilers out because the movie comes out tonight. Unfortunately, I had two spoilers already come across the timeline. I know some of the characters that they're going to put in this.
Who
and I'm already.
That?
I know, right?
LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
LeSean McCoy. What movie
did
he spoil?
What movie did that? God. Like the day it came out.
The day it came out, it was, just ruined
it was
the whole
it was Avengers. It was Tony Stark dying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember on my way out of one of the new Star Wars movies, though, the one where Han Solo died, like right as we walked out the door, and I was talking to my brother, and I'm like, oh, man, I can't believe they killed Han Solo, and this guy walking in his pajama pants was like, great, thanks a lot.
That was
you, jerk.
Yeah.
That was you crop dusting the couple at that old Chicago.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Russ strikes again.
Can you believe they killed Han Solo in the lobby as they're ready to come in?
I was.
What?
To be fair, I was outside.
Outside the theater?
I was outside the building.
Okay, that's what I mean. Because I'm like, if you're in the building still.
No, I had exited the building.
See, I think you're in the clear there. That guy, you need to put blinders on.
La 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 la.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I am genuinely excited. And my wife is not a big Marvel movie person, but she's loved the Deadpool movies, and so she was like, "Yeah, let's go." I couldn't talk her into the late night show because she wants to be in bed by 10.
Okay.
But yeah, no, we're gonna go see that, and I'm gonna go pick her up right after the show and head straight down there.
Perfect. Let's go.
I'm excited.
I can't wait to hear about this.
It's been a while since I've been this excited about a movie. Like, I'm genuinely like, I want to see this. Not like, I'll go see it. Yeah. This is summer blockbuster time.
It's good to have those back.
Right?
Because everybody after COVID is like, your movie theater's going to even survive. Yeah, they will. We just need good content.
Yeah, you need a little, you need Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah. Did Top Gun Maverick save the movie industry?
People are saying.
No. I don't know.
Tom Cruise did it again.
Tom Cruise.
Hilariously, somebody put up like Ryan Reynolds' IMDb, and they're like, is this the worst IMDb in the history of humankind? Because it had, because it had just a list of horrendous.
He is movies. A very wealthy man that he's had some clunkers.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, Green Lantern is one of the biggest steaming piles of crap in existence.
But he's got Van Wilder.
But
he's
it's where he met his wife.
He's got the Deadpool movies,
which great.
What is the one where
waiting?
Yeah, yeah.
Waiting.
The waiting. Batwing.
He's got
the goat.
The oh, what's the Sandra Bullock movie?
Where the Proposal.
The Proposal, where he marries the boss.
Very funny movie.
Yeah, that is good. Betty White. You know, that was good.
He's always good in everything. Like, you know that he's going to be entertaining.
But the movies may just be a hunk of junk.
Which might speak to how great he can be, is that you can still find joy in the fact that he's good, even though the movie is a horrible, just complete pile of crap.
What do we think of Free Guy?
It was fine.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right. I just don't know. Yeah, he does have some bad ones.
Oh, yeah. A couple of weeks ago, we just watched If with the kids.
Which I've heard
the imaginary friend
the kids love.
Written and directed by John Krasinski.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, he is in that. Wow, he's got some really...
It's terrible. Really... I wasn't kidding. It's terrible.
Wow.
Yeah.
But he's got Welcome to Wrexham.
There you go.
That's a good
Hell
show,
Hell of a
too.
Doc series.
Which I hear you're going to have a lookout for Rob McElhenney, because he said on Wrexham he cut Rob out of the movie.
Perfect.
All right. Coming up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac and Soup. Thanks again to Jason Swigart in Indianapolis for Big Ten Media Days. We'll see you Friday from noon to three right here on The Fan.
Bye. We both have huge D's.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.